The season of Advent is really short. It's only 4 weeks. The only season that's shorter is the Christmas season, which is for 12 days. But the season of Advent is really short. And today and this week, we bring Advent to a close, as this is the fourth Sunday of Advent. And this week will be Advent up until the Mass of the Nativity on Friday. Advent teaches us something very important about God and our relationship with Him. This is something every Catholic should know. Unlike every other religion, Jews and Christians teach that God comes to us. God created us. God loves us. Others believe in God, but God loves us in a very unique way, and not all religions teach that God is a loving God. More important is the fact that God comes to us. He's not waiting for us to go to Him. He comes to us. No other religion teaches that God comes to us. Advent, the very name of the season, Advenio, Advenir, in Latin, Advenio, he comes. Our Lord comes to us. That's the most important lesson of the season of Advent. God comes to us at the end of time. It's in all the prophecies. And God comes to us in our time. This teaching is found in the Old Testament, the prophecy that we hear in the readings in Advent. Several of the Old Testament prophets teach this. And some of the prophets even teach specifically that He will be the Messiah and will be born to a woman. Today's first reading comes from the prophet Micah. Micah was a prophet who was a contemporary of Isaiah. They both lived about 700 years before the birth of Jesus, and they both wrote about the birth of Jesus, the birth of the Messiah. Micah was teaching us very specifically about the blessing of the birth of the Messiah to a virgin. In today's gospel, the expectation of the birth of the Messiah is brought very near to us. In the Annunciation by the Archangel Gabriel to Mary in Nazareth, Mary is told she will conceive and bear a child, and he will be Emmanuel. God with us, Emmanuel. Well, Mary questioned the angel, not challenging him, but just, how's this going to happen? And the angel said to her in reply, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. She's told to name him Jesus, and he will be the Son of the Most High. Gabriel tells Mary, and behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month for her who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible for God. Now, in today's gospel, the expectations of Advent draw very near. The coming is close. Mary goes in haste to her cousin Elizabeth in the hill country, probably about 90 miles away from Nazareth. Here we have two pregnant women, one young, one older, two women who've been both of them filled with the Holy Spirit. So there are five distinct persons in today's gospel. Mary, Elizabeth, John, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the characters present in what we hear today in the gospel. This is a divine moment. It's a big moment in the history of salvation and in Scripture. This is a moment of Advent. He comes. The moment anticipates God's coming among us, but prepares us for something much more. It's important, but there's more. In this moment, these two women pregnant with boys meet, not for the first time, they're relatives. God comes to both of them in a very intimate way, in a personal way. Both women have accepted this moment of conversion and will play an important role in salvation history. One carries an infant boy, John, who will become the prophet announcing the Messiah's coming many years later, perhaps 30 years later. And the other is the Messiah, Jesus, human and divine, and the Son of God, and the Son of Mary. This is a moment to treasure and savor as a very unique moment in our history, in salvation history. It's not Christmas, but something new. Something incredible is now very close, but not yet. We can feel the proximity and the presence in a specific moment in time. It's historic because it never happened before. This was a first. It happened in our history. It happened in time, not outside of time. And this moment, 2,000 years ago, had to happen in order for other events to be fulfilled later on. It was like a door. You had to go through this door. This had to happen. Even for things that are happening in our day, today, we wouldn't be here except for this moment. Eternity, the eternal God, the eternal Holy Spirit, eternity entered in our time in a new and wonderful way, and the world could never, ever be the same again. The world, as it was before, would be changed, converted by the presence of God living in our time, in our world, by the presence of a God who comes to us. Time was divided into two parts, a before and an after, and they're not the same, and they can never be the same. B.C., before Christ, Anno Domini, year of our Lord, time was changed forever. Nothing can ever be the same. We're not going back to B.C. People may want it to, but we're not going there. Let's take an even more personal look at this moment. I hope most of you realize you have experienced a conversion, at least one, probably several times in your lives. Conversion is like that. It seems to happen over and over again as we grow. You've probably experienced many of them. At each conversion moment, there is a before and there's an after. There's a change. At each conversion moment, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the only way it happens. In this conversion, each of us experience an epiphany, a realization, an awakening of something true and new. And as you accept this new experience, a conversion experience, you realize it changes everything. I'll give you an example. We don't pay it much attention. But the example I would give you is when you fell in love with your spouse. Maybe it happened all at once, maybe it happened gradually, but you couldn't go back to the way it was after you realized what had happened. There was a before, and there was an after. If you were observing your child being born, that's an epiphany. That's a conversion. It changes your heart. You can never go back the way it was before. You must begin to accommodate into your life this new reality that happens in your conversion. Once you accept it, you can't go back. And going back to before is simply not possible if you accept this conversion and enter into it and take it into your life by your own decision. The moment requires you to be completely free. God will never violate your free will. This moment presents you with a decision. Faith is a decision. It's not an emotion. It can be very emotional, but faith is a decision. Love is a decision. Love can be emotional, but love is a decision. The moment doesn't just happen to you. It may happen, but then you have to accept it. You have to take it in freely, willingly. Let's go back and look at Mary and Elizabeth. Mary was not raped by God or by the Archangel Gabriel. She was presented with a choice. She had to freely accept this conception of the Son of God, and she did. And when she did, here were her words. Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word. That's a decision. That was a conversion moment for Mary. And she chose it freely, and things could never be the same. That's conversion. And when we have conversion, we experience something like that. The Holy Spirit is present in our lives, and we have to accept it. Elizabeth was not raped. Elizabeth was married to Zechariah, and now old and barren, inexplicably now 6 months pregnant. And Elizabeth was now experiencing an epiphany. As she was filled with the Holy Spirit, she obviously accepted her pregnancy and trusted her husband. Elizabeth's moment of epiphany in this conversion was the realization that her younger cousin Mary was also pregnant with a special person. And she tells us, Mary bore Elizabeth's Lord.